Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Show powered by the Tennessee Lottery. This just in from the Tennessee Titans and the National Football League. Taylor Lewan's 4-game suspension has been upheld. Rhett Ryan and I were looking on the phone, spottrack.com, a contract aggregate website. He will lose $3.9 million plus in salary over these next four games. $3.9 plus million. Chris Lowe joins us now. Chris, if you got suspended 4 games from ESPN, would you lose $3.9 million in salary?
No, I probably would. It'd probably be closer to 5 or 6, but that character that you would lose. Mickey Ryan money.
Oh, man. There's actual football tomorrow, and College Game Day is on, and we've talked about this a lot. This is a darn good game, and there's some good subplots with Manny Diaz and Dan Mullen, and then there's a late game in Hawaii, and who knows, man, maybe they'll score 70 points in that one, or 80 or whatever, and I'm just over the moon that this is something we can talk about now.
Yeah, it's here. I mean, it's here. You got games tomorrow. You know, South Florida hosts Wisconsin on Friday. A week from today, so we don't have to wait any longer. College football's here, and I think it's probably been the kind of off season that nobody at Florida would want. Dan Mullen, fans, administration. So I would say as much as anything, they're just ready to get to some football games, and I think this is one of those games where with Diaz, you know, his debut as Miami's coach, and they're going with Jaron, you know, the young kid at quarterback. I just got a feeling this is a matchup that doesn't bode well for the Hurricanes. You know, yeah. Ty Grantham, the Florida defensive coordinator, really good at what he does. He's good at bringing pressure and disguising things. I think he makes things hard for the freshman quarterback. And then I'm going to be interested to see how much better Felipe Franks is, having been with Mullen now a whole year.
Yeah.
You know, he's been under his tutelage. Dan's got a great track record of getting guys ready to, not getting ready to play, but getting them better and better every year. And I think having been with him now the entire season, he's got good players around him. I'm talking about Franks, guys who get the football. I'm not saying that this is going to be one of those games that's a blowout, but I don't know that Miami is ready when you look at the matchup in game one to win this kind of football game.
Chris Lowe, I'm not sure that either offensive line is ready for these teams.
That may be the case. That may be the case. I mean, I don't think either line, put it this way, either line can afford any injuries. Now, the good thing is it's the start of the season. You know, it's usually in October, November when you start to see that depth in the offensive line. We start to get teams that are thin. But no, I think that's the key, I think, with both teams, certainly with Florida, is how much they can grow up there. Can they stay healthy? You can even protect Franks. And Franks got to help them. You know, you got to get rid of the football quicker. You got to make quicker decisions. And that's why I said earlier that it's going to be really interesting to me to see what he looks like going in year two under Mullen as compared to year one.
Chris Lowe, our guest at CeeLo, ESPN. A lot of hubbub this week about the latest anything involving Jim Harbaugh, this time over a quote in his book. And how hard it is to beat the cheaters. It's hard to beat the cheaters was the quote. And now the excerpt from the book has actually been published, and it kind of started the week. And Jim Harbaugh is taking shots at the SEC. And then the excerpt from the book comes out, and I think you were, among others, one of the ones who said, maybe we have some context now with all this.
Mm-hmm. Hey, context is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, listen, and Jim's brought a lot of it on himself at times. He said goofy things, done goofy things. But I think he's sort of a lightning rod for a lot of fans, not only in the Big Ten, but in the SEC. I think he says and does is sort of twist it around. And of course, you got all the transfer thing. I love how the, and this is not directed at Michigan or Jim Harbaugh or anybody, but I love how in college football, fan bases and coaches and staff point the finger at everybody else. Everybody's succeeding, but this coach and this school. And they talk about everybody else. Well, you know, and I've heard this conversation from coaches in all different conferences. Well, can you believe how they're cheating here? Or well, they've taken it to a new level there. And typically, it's the person, or it can be an assistant, it can be a head coach, somebody that's a big booster at this school, that somebody at the school they're accusing is accusing them of the same thing. And I love how everybody, again, if that, it's sort of like the, you know, the old saying that when you start talking about scheduling, that, well, they ain't playing anybody. Nobody's playing anybody. Well, when it comes to recruiting and cheating allegations, everybody's cheating, but the people that are making those accusations.
Right. For sure.
I mean, nobody cheats in college football, right?
I was going to say, and no SEC coaches accuse other SEC coaches of it either.
No, never happens.
Never.
Just every other day.
You've been making all these stops. You've been to Ohio State. We were talking about Jim Harbaugh and Michigan. Are they going to lose to Michigan, or do they continue that mastery of them, and will we see them in the Final Four this year?
I'll tell you what, this is, you know, it looked, when you look at it, this is probably, it should be maybe his best chance yet to get to the playoff. We're talking about Jim Harbaugh and Michigan. I'll say this, with as much as, and of course it stretches back before Jim got there, as much as Ohio State has owned Michigan in that rivalry, which on the field, that's always going to be a great rivalry. Okay, some Ohio State fans and Michigan fans took me to task last year. I said, coming less and less on every year. And maybe I should have specified on the field because Ohio State is dominating. But I'll tell you what, if he loses, if Harbaugh loses this year to Ohio State, to Ryan Day, who just turned 40 years old, who's a first-time head coach at Ohio State, then I think the folks in Mays there in Ann Arbor are going to start to get a little restless, you know, because it's like, well, you're not going to beat them this year. When are you going to beat them? I think Michigan's got the football team, though, to make a run, and they should be good again on defense. I get mixed opinions on Shea Patterson. Some people think he's just outstanding and just poised for a big year. Others aren't so sure. I would much rather have him, though, than be trying to answer a question, who's going to be my quarterback, from guys who are inexperienced or guys who haven't done it. He's at least done it. He's played and certainly has a ton of ability, ton of talent. But I think that's a fair question from all Michigan fans is, if they don't beat Ohio State this year, when are they going to beat them?
Chris Lowe, one more here. On the way out, Auburn names Bo Nix their starting quarterback, freshman. Obviously, Gus's choices were both young, inexperienced guys, but what's your take on Nix getting the nod?
Well, first of all, Don, just for you, WDE, okay?
I like it.
Or Don Eagle.
Smart man right there.
You know what? Talking to people, actually had a chance to talk to Gus and some people on that staff. I think as it played out, Nix was clearly the best guy. And was able, was more consistent throwing the football and really a lot more athletic. Jay was athletic, but Nix can run, move around, buy time, extend the play. I think he gives him that chance to do a lot of different things at quarterback. But he's, gosh, you know, starting a true freshman in the SEC, his first game against a really good Oregon team.
Oregon. Good luck.
That's a lot to ask, but he's got a lot of ability, and I think when you look at who was the best player, it was pretty clear as they got through preseason he was the best guy and gives them the best chance at that position to win.
Chris, great stuff, man. Have a great weekend. We'll have games to talk about that have been played and more games that are going to be played. All this will happen on Monday when you join us, and I'm already excited about it.
You bet, and on the way out, Dawn, one more time, WDE.
War damn, Chris. War damn.
Thank you, brother. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
Chris Lowe from ESPN. When we come back, the 3 o'clock hour and the 4 o'clock hour, Mark Mariani, former Titan, will join us. Lots to discuss with him. Who should be playing in the preseason? How much should they not? A lot of discussion coming up with the Titans All-Pro 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.